Medicine Buddha versus Praise and Mantra, also on the same page. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispel of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha lapis light. Teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante raja samugate soha Teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante raja samugate soha Teyata om bekante bekante Maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha Teyata om bekande bekande Maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha Teyata om bekande bekande Maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha Teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante raja samugate soha Teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante raja samugate soha Okay, and now the four measurables also on the same page. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity. Free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. Okay, now the verse of praise and mantra, fortune raising on page 37. Not veiled by any fault, white in color, whose head a perfect Buddha crowns in light, gazing compassionately at all beings. To you, Chen Reisig, I'll say one, I prostrate.
Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Mani Padme Hum.
Now the verse of praise and mantra for green taro, also on page 37. Tare liberates from cyclic existence. Tutare liberates from the eight fears. Today liberates from all sickness. I prostrate to the Liberator Mother Tara.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
I'll go back to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book, and Geshe-la will lead us in the Refuge in Generating Bodhicitta Prayer.
Oh, sorry, I'm just waking up. Good morning. Good night. any questions, Linda?
Sure, Geshe-la. Do you want to tackle the one about helping us visualize the unity of bliss and voidness today?
Any other questions?
Yes.
Any other questions? Yeah. Any other questions?
Another one is about karma. I've been told that when you marry someone, you take on their karma. How would that work? So I've been told that when you marry someone, you take on their karma. So how would that work?
I've never heard that. Any donations? Father Brown, please. Yeah, because I never married. Went to monastery when I was 7 years old. No clue.
Doesn't sound like karma to me. Everybody has their own individual karma. You know, we all have collective karma, like to be here today, but we all, you know, that's something that we each individually generate. So you don't take on somebody else's karma.
Very good. Wonderful. Excellent. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, from what I've been taught and everything, and I'm sure everyone else has been taught about karma, and that is that we can't create anybody else's karma, right? We create our own karma. Karma is action.
Oh, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, so every act is a karma. I just had a talk with guys in prison Friday, and they are feeling so responsible for the fact they're in prison. One guy's mother, or I think his wife, has cancer, and he feels like he created that. He's the cause of that. And I said, no, her cancer is her cancer. She created the cause and the conditions for that. You created the cause and the conditions for you to be here now. So we got to stop thinking that we're responsible for other people's actions, other people's karma. That's not really being kind and loving to ourselves. Mm-hmm. By doing that, we need to be loving and kind to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Vincent, Father Vincent. Yeah.
If it were possible to take on someone else's karma, the Buddhas, in their infinite compassion, would have already taken on all of our negative karma.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fair point. I think that's fair.
Almost exactly what I would venture to say. It's that misconception that anybody thinks that being in a relationship, or not even just married, just being in a relationship with somebody, that you're going to fix or help somebody in that way, as if you're actually taking on anything of theirs. And I think it's a complete misconception, not even getting into karma and otherwise, just like in a relationship, it has to be healthy. I think you're fixing or, taking on somebody else's burden in that way. It's a misconception straight away.
Oh.
This is Kamala.
Yeah, okay.
It's my understanding with everybody else that we can't take on anybody else's karma, but the fact that I meet somebody and I marry them is part of causes and conditions coming together and a ripening of my karma. The connection doesn't happen. It happens. Is that accurate? I created the karma to meet the Dharma, right? And the causes and conditions came together. Am I off base here?
What did you say? Fear?
Am I off base? Is that correct, Yeshua, that, it's my karma that leads me to meet people,
I'm not qualified to judge.
good
point. So, see, it's kind of complex, the question, I think about, karma is like Sanskrit word, it's not even Tibetan word. Karma, the Sanskrit word. So, we as a human, we talk, we do things physically, and then that requires some kind of thought. Without thought, we don't do anything. So, some kind of intention or motivation. So, according to Buddhist philosophy, so actions, like physical action, verbal actions, mental action basically refers to thought or intention or motivations. That's it. No, mental action is no different than thought. So, indirectly, marrying someone, so then so taking on, taking over?
Taking on their karma.
Taking on means taking over? Yeah.
So sharing.
Taking over somebody's body, speech, and mind.
Or just sharing their karma, it's combined, I guess.
Because there's a reason, probably everybody agree, whatever you call that karma, whatever you call, coincidence, luck, pure luck, pure coincidence, whatever you call, getting two people together, there's some reason, right? There's a reason why you get together. Maybe you have common interests. There's many reasons. So now question is much deeper than that, why you have common interest in chemistry between these two people, why you feel that with this particular person, why not somebody else? It's not like the first time you only met this in your life, or you met multiple people throughout your life, but you kind of connect with one person. If someone asks why, this question, so you need to think how to explain. The reason, whether you call karma, action, or Tibetan word, lay, or doesn't, then something else. you know, doesn't have to be that explain how you're going to explain. So now share like there's like the common as such as like environment disaster like earthquake, tsunami, storm, like a group of people affected by same thing. And a group of people, not always from the negative side, also group of people rewarded, you know, or promoted or rewarded or whatever, like something good. Has to have reason. It can be coincident. If it's coincident, then why did it happen to other group? Need to probably keep our mind open. Keep our mind open. You can't just close due to your own religious belief. This is good to always keep your mind open. You know, there are possibilities. You know, possibilities. So now sharing, when you come down to common things like same interest going to look at a museum in somewhere in Europe, there's a common interest. In that case, probably you could say sharing your interest. Both have same reason why you like both like to look at the architect. So like that's been like dated like thousands of years. Maybe you have mutual interest. So there are many, many things you need to explain. That's why I'm saying always give to good to keep your mind open. Open for possibilities, you know. So then there's no there's uncommon for it's hard to believe the two persons will say the same thing all the time. That's almost impossible. Two people having the same thought all the time, that's impossible. Same people doing physically the same thing all the time, that's impossible. Even moving like this, you create this connection. It's creating actions. So, two people verbally, physically, when it comes down to thought, it's almost impossible to say we are going to have same thought. Even the twins, Siamese twin, what do you call twin? Identical twin, even they are probably not like, a lot of similarity, but you know, like different. You can't say they have 100% think the same thing. That's almost impossible. So therefore, there are like uncommon actions being created by individual like, interests, mental inclinations. You know, so then there's like uncommon. Common that both have both interests doing something together, probably created some like action together. So that action might go on and on from maybe life after life. So, the sharing is more based on common. Uncommon, I don't think you can really share. Almost like planting the seed for orange and hoping it's going to be mango. It's probably not going to be mango. It's going to be orange because you plant the orange seed. Not going to be mango like that. It's like same like very second moment, the action has been created, very second moment, it turns into tendency. So then, you know, it will probably last longer. So then, according to Buddhism, then that imprint is printed on consciousness. So which probably goes, which kind of continues. So, then what else? I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. We do have another question that just came in. Let me just find it real quick. Sorry. Okay. The question is, a few weeks ago, you asked us to think about the connection between faith and prayer. It seems as if you have to have faith before you pray, because why would you pray and who would you be praying to if you did not have faith?
So that question has been asked 20 years ago. I have all the answers 20 years ago. I've been here 22 years. So now, so can you please repeat one more time?
Sure. A few weeks ago, you asked us to think about the connection between faith and prayer. It seems as if you have to have faith before you pray, because why would you pray and who would you be praying to if you did not have faith?
If you have already have faith, why you pray? There's many, many questions inside there.
Mm-hmm.
First one, if you have faith, why you pray?
I think that, well, let's see here.
It looks like there's many questions inside one
right.
question. In order to pray, if you have to have faith.
The question is asking, it seems as if you have to have faith
in order
before
to pray.
Prayer.
Before prayer.
And is that correct? Otherwise...
It seems like not correct.
Do you have to have faith before prayer?
No, I'm asking this question hinting that's part wrong. This question is hinting having a faith before prayer is not right?
No, I think the question is...
Sorry, my ignorance is very thick.
No. And if the person who asked it would like to comment and clarify the question, feel free to unmute. But in my interpretation, I would think she's asking, is this correct, that it does make sense to have faith before you pray? Because otherwise, why would you be praying and to who?
Yeah, but I will probably say yes. I'm not sure what you're going to say. I will probably say yes. If you don't faith, you don't pray, do you? Huh? So say like there's another thing.
Well, people without faith have found that if they do the exercise of praying, that they develop faith. And in keeping with what the Buddha taught about, don't just take my word for it, which is blind faith. Try it out. Test it.
Right.
So I would argue that you don't need to have faith before praying, that you develop faith through prayer.
Makes sense? Huh? Do you agree with that?
In Mother Teresa's autobiography, she very clearly states that she was praying for faith, that she had a daily struggle with generating the faith enough to walk out into those horrible places in Calcutta and taking care of these very poor people. She struggled with that. Mother Teresa struggled with that. So
let's talk about the faith. What is faith? How you define faith? How you define faith? What is faith? What is faith? What is the importance of faith? What is faith? What is the importance of faith? What is the importance of faith? Is it something that good to have or not good to have? So there are many questions. What is faith? What is the importance of faith? So in my monastery, this question you never hear. People just go, they never question, you know. Nobody asked. So that's why I was kind of froze. 20 years ago, somebody said, what is faith? Like, no, what is it? Yeah, not faith, like, sorry. What is prayer? I've been praying, like, since I was 7, I never thought about asking that question, what is prayer? All of a sudden you come to here, the West, in the United States, then what is prayer, sir? Even someone asked me, is there any prayer to help to be born as a cat? So there's something which try, pray hard not to be born. So all of a sudden somebody asking you to pray to be born as a cat. But the two occasions, I completely froze my brain. I don't know what to say. So then, since then, I've been thinking, yeah, this question probably has to have answered. What is faith? What is the importance of faith? Do we need faith? In order to what? To have calm mind, peaceful mind, easygoing life. For what? You know, so that's important. I'm going to say something. What is faith? What is important of faith? Do we need that? If yes, for what? I think there's no question need to be asked.
So my sense is that here, you know, you start with praying out of mere faith or aspiring faith. Mm-hmm. And I think here the fruit of a prayer is, she's thinking of the faith of conviction faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the struggle is here. Because, you know, everyone, when you're a nun or whatever, you have great, you know, mere faith. But then you have to have a faith of conviction. And she needed that in order to go to the streets of Calcutta and, you know, believe that they were also Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it is. It's the definition of the kind of faith.
Yeah, so can you humble please, like said, the three types of faith in English?
Right.
According to Buddhism, there are three different types of faith. Please listen, I'm not asking you to believe. I'm just asking you to learn. And as I said, you, me, always keep our mind open for the possibilities. Like closing your mind is not good. You just become stubborn. So then what it does for you probably not great good. So always keep your mind open. You know, learn much as possible. So here, according to Buddhism, there are like three types of faith. You listen, think. Did I any experience any of those? Just think, okay? Something to the foundation for foundations. When it's come down to faith, according to Buddhist philosophy or Buddhism, there's like three faiths have been listed. So based on that, probably think, no need to accept, just think.
Yeah. So there's the aspirational or yearning faith, like, you know, when you go into a church. Clarifying lucid faith and conviction. Clarifying or lucid faith, and then faith of conviction.
Okay, does that make sense? It's more like feeling, you know, like sometimes when you walk into something, like say, it's common expression like in Europe or maybe in Tibet, you know, there's a monastery, people just walk in, they feel like kind of like, there's people say like energy, whatever, that I'm not sure, then they see like, oh, there's so much energy, people say, could be, you know, related to the ancient ruins or maybe some temple that you walk in, you feel kind of like peace. Don't have really reason, but you just feel. That's called the second one. Clear. Yeah, that's literally translated the word Tibetan word tangetaba. Tang means like there's nothing to be clear about physical body. Don't feel clear, but you feel in the mind something kind of like how is it? Dr. Brown, you experienced that when you went to Nepal? Second faith? Do you experience the second faith?
Clarifying or lucid faith?
Lucid, I don't understand. Second English language, lucid, I don't know. First one. Did you ever experience walking into some environment you feel kind of like, wow, like kind of like, did you ever feel that? Did you ever experience in your life that when you walk into, whether it could be church, could be temple, could be, that you feel like kind of like lifted, like kind of like in peace?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, for sure. You know, I was thinking the Tibetan people, for example, you know, you mentioned at the monastery, you never, even the question came up, if you go to Dharamsala, the whole Tibetan culture has some sort of karmic, really is fortuitous, but they just have natural faith in the Dharma, natural faith in His holiness, and it's sort of almost built into the culture. They don't have a lot of deep knowledge of the Buddha Dharma, but they do have faith. I know His Holiness, is, for example, has been encouraging the Tibetan people to actually learn the Dharma, you know, learn the actual teachings, you know, so that their faith is not so kind of, it could be a little bit shaky if you don't have a strong background in Buddha Dharma. I don't know, that's one thing I can think of. The other thing is, I mean, I'm just thinking of what I've seen and what I've experienced is that I think we're here today because we have faith. Or as Robbie would say, confidence. You know, that's Alex Berzin's translation of faith in Thupten Shudra. And I say, well, you know, faith is confidence. You know, you go to refuge because of, you know, faith in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, but they say confidence. So I think that's a little bit easier word to relate to. But I mean, my first experience of Buddha Dharma, I didn't have any faith. I was at Kupan, and I was like, this is interesting, but, and I didn't have any faith until actually I went up, and, you know, the teachings made sense, and I could see, so this is one thing I think is, we in the West, we sort of experience, we wonder like, well, should I have faith? It's not like flipping on a light switch. I have faith, one minute I don't, the next minute I do. I think it's a process over a lifetime of practice where we get a little bit of benefit and then our confidence or faith begins to grow. The more we practice, the stronger our faith becomes. But for me, particularly, was meeting my teachers and seeing, for example, seeing that Lama Yeshe, and I actually made a point of interviewing both of them at that first November course, because I said, well, this all sounds good and great, but I want to see if they are who they seem to be and who people claim they are. And I went and met both of them individually, well, Lama Yeshe with a group of people, but I felt like, yeah, they are the real deal. And then I met His Holiness, and I said, these are people that are walking the talk, and they are extraordinary people. So that makes me want to practice, because I want to be like them. This is what they're practicing. So it gave me a lot of faith to practice the Dharma. So I think at the end of the day, for me, it was my teachers that gave, and my whatever practice I was able to do that gave me some conviction faith. I'm still working on it. I'm like, you know, I'm like Mother Teresa still. So it's a process.
Very good, wonderful. So wanting to be something, wanting to be like that. So yes. That is, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's a faith. That's also faith. It is faith. When do we tell the first one? Your aspiration is faith?
Yes.
So that's the faith. So see, the last week, one of our center members, she found a wallet full of credit card. And eventually, like, it's kind of unfortunate, you know, like she even run behind the car, but the person saw her, probably thought that she's kind of crazy. But, you know, so that's kind of unfortunate. The first thought that rise is not positive. Even if somebody's trying to help you, you still. So that's why the life gets complicated, not because somebody decide, okay, you should be more miserable. No, because our thought. You know, we don't have precious thought. We don't have noble thought. You know, we do have thought, say, let's say 100 every single day. Out of that, 99, probably not good. How your life can be better? Impossible. It's not about believing in religion or not believing in religion. That's like the thought. That's not based on religion. Whether you believe in religion or not, you really have thought. You know, so the first thought, even if somebody's trying to help, running out of your car, the first thought comes, or somebody's asking me money or maybe something. I'm not making this up. The person said to her, that's why then kind of he's apologizing, not having a positive thought. Even she's running after him with his wallet, driver lesson full of credit card, trying to do something, not fast thought. That's unfortunate. Anyway, so when she returned, this is not written in the book, it just happened. So then what he said, like, so I can have faith in humanity. So that means that there are human, good human. Not every human is like horrible. So that faith, what it means, like, oh, I could easily have faith in humanity. The word you faith has been used, but that means it's like, it's more like conviction faith, maybe last one. Because you are convinced that somebody is doing something good. And based on that, now you think, oh, not every human. Maybe next time somebody follow his car, he'll probably think twice before he drive away. You know, like that, Ezekiel, the last one, conviction faith. So that's why I, in the class, I said, keep your mind open, learn as much as possible. The last faith, conviction faith, you need reason. You can't just blindly follow, you have to have reason. So that reason that you experience something, you felt something, you experience something. So that, you know, so that is the faith, three types of faith according to Buddhism. So now, think about what in the teaching, some books, what it says, when the seed get burned, it will never produce anything. You can keep seed in the box. This still has ability to produce something if you put into ground to give it all the proper condition, even though you kept that in like box like hundreds of years, it still will produce something if you plant and like give the proper care, it will produce something. When that seed get burned, it's finished. That ability to produce something is finished. Teva may be me, I'm not Kavishana Michides. So just think, I'm not asking you to believe. I'm just telling you what is said in the some books. Teva may be me is a person without faith. So now we are thinking about the three things. We have no aspirations whatsoever. We have no, like, second one, clearing. Pame Teva, so sorry, it sounds much better in Tibetan. Second one, but in English, I'm not sure, like, there's English words, so when you hear that, what message you get? What in English, what was this?
There's lucid or clarifying.
Yeah, clarifying. I'm not sure what that means, but Pame Teva is something to do with your mind, your feeling. It's not like something you feel good. So now we think about these three things, aspirations. No, like I say, when you walk into some environment, you know, when like you feel great, you feel good, you feel kind of peace, that one, second one. Third one, you have concrete reason why I should practice kindness, compassion. I saw the result in myself, in other people, so that's why I embrace compassion. So that you are convinced, you are 100% convinced, same like taking medicine. Oh, when you have headaches, Tylenol or Advil, there's many of them. You take Advil, you are convinced it will kind of eliminate your headache. That's why you take this conviction faith based on experience. You had experience last month when you had a headache, you took helps. That kind of convinced you. Take it again, it will help. That's called condition. That's based on reason or experience, last one. So now, what the text said, Teva may be mean, person without faith knows these three things. It's hard to generate positive thought. Is that true? I'm not asking you to believe, is that true? Similarly, the seed that was burned, it will probably never produce sprout. Sprout? This is what says the four line, one stanza. Person without faith is have probably hard to, how you say, have positive thought. First, you have no aspirations. Hard to have positive thought. So now think about whether you call it or not, how you generate positive thought. How you generate. You should have some reason. It's not automatic. We all know it's not automatic. So how you can generate something, precious thought, novel thought, positive thought, how? You know, drinking tea doesn't help. How now? The question, I'm not the only one who has thought. We all have thought. Right? So we all have like to answer. How you think something good, how? Is it possible? First of all, is it possible to think something good? And how you think something good if you don't have any faith? These three things. If you have no aspirations, second one called time at the last one's conditions, you are convinced. So why have faith in your doctor? When you go to see your doctor, people say, I have faith in my doctor. I have faith in the word faith has been used in many occasions. It's not just in religious ceremony. We have to be fair. We do use faith in many different ways. So each time when you use, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Like, is this like some kind of aspirations? Or that you are convinced? Or so something to think about. Teva maybe mean alaka vision, which is this heart to have to, how is it, to, yeah, to basically have the positive thought if you have no faith. Is that true? Just think about it, is that true? Huh? People who have faith, maybe for easier for them to think something positive. Having a faith in compassion, loving kindness, altruistic attitude. So that's just want to quote what text says. You know, otherwise life probably become like the seed has been burned. We probably never produce anything. So what else?
We can go back to a karma question that came up from previously, which is,
so that it makes sense. The 1 second, like, not having a faith, is it hard to develop any positive thought if you don't have faith? Could be that faith doesn't have to be always like towards the holy object. Do we have faith in ourselves? Do you have faith that you can become enlightened? Or is it just myth? Oh, I used to be so angry person. So I went to, you know, participate in different types of workshops. I meditate, I read, and I thought, now I've become more like, how you say, I'm able to tolerate more different things. And like before, like, doesn't require much, it's just somebody said some word. Not doing anything physical, some word that you just explode. So now you are thinking and thinking, breathing and sitting back, and you are thinking and probably learn how to protect yourself. And you kind of build armor around yourself. And somebody says something, oh, now I see there's more like echo and there's no substance. Not hurting physically, it's not like somebody poke with your body with a pin, then it hurts. Of course, you'll probably scream or hurt. But word, is it possible to look at that word as an echo, something that has no substance? So what happens? So when you meditate on a daily basis, when you meditate, so then when you come out of your meditations, every event that's happening in your life before that you retort, second, you react right away. So now you learn, six senses, that's where so much been fit through six senses, seeing, color, shape, hearing sound, smelling, tasting something, touching something, that's why life become complicated, So every information you get by seeing something is not positive. No. Can you imagine everything you see, you receive positive information. Everything you hear, you receive positive information. Everything you smell, that's probably harder. Everything you taste, Tibetan words called tabaranjam, just pure. There's nothing wrong, just pure. And I find out, this is my perception. There's something I have power to change. This is my perception. So all my reaction is based on my perception, is not necessarily on the fact. Maybe there's one person is fact, there's 99% I just projected. In my hometown, the winter time is so cold, it's like 14,000 feet above sea level. Winter time is so cold. So during the daytime, there's some sun. What do? We don't have washing machines. You wash your clothes with hand. So then you dry them outside. Night, it kind of froze. You're trying to know, there's no indoor bathroom. You have to go like probably 10 yards to go to the bathroom. It's way out there. So you walk out the door and like somebody's like coming towards you. And then you freak out. The things go. Then you start to see head. You start to see eye, red eye. Then all kinds of things you start to see. This is your clothes. This is your shirt. Then you, something is there. If one person is there, it's all frozen. So now you are all like panic. You are in panic mode, fear. Maybe wake up all the family, rest of the family, wake up for nothing. So then everybody will come to the torchlight and go there. It's like your shirt. So that, mind creates, you just react. After the meditations, when you come out of meditation, every event, you thoroughly analyze. You don't react right away. You take your time, you breathe, take your time. Try to think from the bigger picture. You're not just focusing right here. You're just cool back and thinking big. What it does, it protects you. Otherwise, you are about to destroy yourself. That's all what you're trying to do. No matter what kind of appearances that appear, whether it's good or positive or negative, neutral, anything that appears, we just caught up with the appearances. We can't go beyond because we just caught up with what we see. We can't go beyond. We cannot see beyond. If you do thorough analysis, there's possibility you can see the fact. Fact? What is fact? That's your shirt. There's the fact. That's your shirt. There's the fact. You probably could see. You just come down. You don't need to wake up everybody else. You can come down and just check and do thorough analysis. You prevent all this fear and panic just analyzing. Finds out this piece of cloth, they belong to you. It's not ghost like that. Nesu means reality. Jemba means like, I say, raw. Jemba literally means raw, raw. What is raw? There's a piece of cloth, there's a raw. Everything else is projected. Now, please think about, is that true? Do we project? Yeah, of course we project. Do we exaggerate? Yeah, we do exaggerate, unfortunately. What happens when the moment you exaggerate, you are getting far away from the fact. So whatever stress or level of stress, fear, anxiety caused by moving far away from fact, that can be solved. You just need wisdom. Just need wisdom to solve. So, yeah, like we do. Do you have faith in yourself? Do you have faith? As a Buddhist, you're supposed to have faith. You're supposed to believe you possess Buddha nature. It's only a matter of time we can get enlightened. Do you have faith that your life is precious? Did you ever thought about that your life is precious? Did you ever thought about life is precious? It's been said repeatedly. Think about the moment you wake up, be grateful that you are breathing, you are seeing people there that are having so hard time just seeing, running here, running there, spending all this money. When they start to see something, they feel so happy. Do you ever feel happy just knowing that you can see? No, you don't feel happy. Oh, that's a mistake. It's a mistake. The Buddhism, in what in Buddhism is called precious human life. So difficult to find, so meaningful. Tanjore, precious human life. Tenje, meaningful. How many times you told yourself, oh, my life is not meaning. There's ignorance. You can't grow. If you think like that, you can't grow. Oh, my life has no meaning. That's totally ignorance. It's not wisdom. You know, so Panjotinjinyaka is so difficult to find. So then you cherish, you know, you cherish. So, there's teaching called Lam Rim. Lam is a path. Rim is stages. Stages are path. Books like this size, it's been written 675 years ago, long time ago. So we do study that and try to meditate, remind yourself in daily basis, meditate. So in that book, and of course in the beginning, there talks about, very beginning, talks about importance of spiritual teachers. The second most important topic is precious human life. So now ask yourself questions. Not asking you to believe in Buddhism, just ask yourself questions. Did you ever thought that your life is meaningful, so precious, so difficult to find? Did you ever thought? Some people are doing that year after year, receiving a lot of benefit. Not losing their head or hand by thinking that. So, or you just think yourself, oh, I'm just bad. I don't know why I'm just bad. That's who am I? No good. Because you have, that means you don't have faith in yourself. What it means, faith means you can do better. Or I can say something nice. Or I can think something good. Or I can think that I can increase their thought, positive thought. Or like that. So that's why, according to if you are Lam Rim meditator, Lam Rim practitioners, that's what you do every day. Remind yourself, oh, your life is so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find. Make sure this precious human life doesn't slip through your hand by doing nothing. It kind of reminds you. So then, if you are not liberated, you know, liberation means you are free from all the complications. So right now, see, getting married, not getting married, living single, not marrying, all getting job, not getting job, everything comes with complications, problems. What is that? That's the nature of samsara. Don't ever think that. It's not shocking. It's kind of expected. Or not being satisfied. Oh, that's part of samsara. It's not just me. We don't contend. We are not satisfied, you know, like that. Never, never. Uncertainty. Oh, that's part of the life. Uncertainty. Even though you think you have power to change, maybe reality probably don't. Like that. Never, never. Uncertainty. Never, never. Dissatisfaction is part of life. Just accept. Just don't fight. Just accept. There's nothing you can do. If you really don't like, deep down from your heart, what you do? Liberate. Liberate yourself from samsara for good. So then you don't experience that anymore. Finish. Oh, neba neba, mumba neba. Losing loved one, that's part of life. It's not like everybody looking for it. This happens. You know, encounter something you don't like, that happens. It's all part of life. Reminding yourself this with the meditation every day, when it happens, it's not a shock. You already know it happens. Then you deal with calmer mind. When it happens, you deal with that event with calmer mind than rather than you 100% went to shocking mode. So that's why, you know, meditate. You just know, review meditation, analytical meditation, concentration meditation. This is all betterment for the life. It makes your life, even though you are not free, completely free from samsara, but even being part of samsara, your life will be relatively easier because you have all this knowledge and you are 100% convinced that you can grow, you can go up, go higher. You have conviction, faith, you are 100% convinced. Oh, I used to be a very angry person, now I think somebody does something, I think somebody comes before anybody breaks anything in my kitchen, I just go out of my mind. So now, somebody breaks, I think, you die, things breaks, happens. It's not just in the world. So now you like grow, somebody breaks something, doesn't bother us. And even you in the advising people in the kitchen, anything breaks, don't scream, don't make stories, just let it go. No? Why? Breaking piece of glass in your kitchen, destroy all your happiness, is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So now you are, you know, yeah, so then now slowly, slowly, slowly you have become more calm and more grounded and more like minute something happened, you are taking your time, you are thinking. You are not reacting, you are thinking. You are assessing. You are assessing the event very thoroughly. What I'm looking for, happiness. If I cannot find one, at least you protect. There's something you can do. Don't ever tell me that you cannot do. That's not true. That's not true. Somebody else did it. You could do. Same human. Oh. Someone who killed 999 human beings can be better. Why you think that you cannot be better? Why? You should have reason why. Oh. So that's why the faith, this now question is all over faith, is important. Having a faith in yourself, having a faith in others, it's good things. It's not bad things, it's good things. Having a faith in compassion, loving kindness, good things. It's not weakness, it's the strength. It's the strength. It's good things. Huh? Seeing all the world is like horrible, that's not good thought. That's not precious thought. That's not noble thought. That's a disturbing thought. It's kind of destroying your happiness. Oh. So now there's some other text that says like, Dani, Dagi, and Dainjis. You are your own enemy. You are on your protector. Does that make sense? You see, you read this, Dani, Dagi, Dainjis, Dani, Dainjis. You are your own enemy. You are on your protectors. Is that make sense? Yeah, now when you think deep, it makes sense. It makes sense. Am I destroying my own happiness? Probably we do all the time. Because we have faith in something wrong. We have faith in, oh, just bust or just express, scream, yell. You are going to get what you want. Probably not true. Do you like to be screamed? You like to be in an environment somebody screaming at you? No. Why do you think there's somebody else like when you scream? It's not into the religion, that's the fact, you know. People don't like to be screamed. So loving kindness, compassion, kindness, that's the best thing. Most hardest thing to do, that's the best thing. Getting angry is the easiest thing to do, not the best thing. You know? Wish to help others, that's a noble thought. That's just a precious thought. You will get a lot of benefit. You will get immense benefit having this precious thought, wishing to help others. Altruistic attitude. Intentions want to benefit others. Oh. Because like people know, like you be when you being kind to people they don't ask what kind of religion you follow. They just, oh, you are a very kind person. They don't ask what you believe. When you be kind to your cat ask you what religion you believe. No. So, kindness, compassion, it's not a sign of weakness. There's totally ignorance. There's a misunderstanding. 100% misunderstanding. Compassion is the strength. It's the strength. Oh. So, now, in order to make your life more calm, more peaceful, we need a lot of noble thought, a lot of precious thought. We need less disturbing thought. If you do that, you don't need religion. Why you need religion? You don't need religion. You are doing pretty well. You are doing pretty well. So, not in religion. Why you need to believe? Why you believe in this and do that? Don't you believe? Because you are doing pretty well. The thinking, you know. So then is it possible taparamjam, just pure? Is that possible? It's possible. It's possible. Oh. See, one person thinks something good, two person thinking good, three person, doesn't matter, American, Tibetan, Asian, doesn't matter, you have something, some positive thought, you just, the moment you see someone, you're wishing them to be happy. Isn't that amazing? How much, like, that's why I'm saying you get immense benefit. You are just one. Other, there's limited number. You see, you wish, or you see, oh, precious human life, another precious human life, you know. Yeah, so that we, I think, according to my observations, I think faith is very much needed. Without faith, you have to have inspirations. Aspirations. Yeah, so you have to have faith. Not just in like some holy object. You have to have faith in yourself. You can be liberated. Okay, so please think about whenever you discuss with some other people about faith, think about these three things. It's not just believing in these three things, so faith. So also think about them, please again think about person without faith. It is like seed that's been burned. Seed that's been burned. Is that true? I'm not asking you to believe. Just analyze. Likewise, Shakyamuni Buddha said, Buddha give us full freedom. Buddha didn't ask you to believe. Buddha said, analyze. Not just analyze. Total analyze. Ask, question many as possible ask. When you buy a gold, in ancient time, what do? You burn, make sure that you get the pure gold. You burn, you cut, you rub. That's how you buy gold. That's how you make sure that you get the worth out of your money. For people nowadays, you do the same thing. Whenever you buy, you do a lot of research. Why are you doing research? Make sure that you get the best. That's why you do research. Same thing. Same thing. You research. Analyze. Analyze. Okay? So Buddha said, when you buy a gold, you do go through three tests. Similarly, please do to my teachings, what I taught. Then after that, after that analysis, you can take, you can take, you can accept. Lama Chai is, that's how you accept. Kuichi means not out of respect. Don't take my word out of respect. Why? Down the road, it's not good, because why? People will start to think. They have tons of questions, they start to question. So then it's not good, because you accept merely out of respect, now it's not good, it's not doing anything good for you. So that's why analyze. So then when mind starts to think, oh, you can do deep analysis. So then there's nothing fake. It's everything Buddha taught is based on the fact. Based on the fact. Okay. So just want to share this with you. So I myself, you know, so don't ever think that I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm from head to toe imperfect. Imperfect. But I'm trying. That's all I'm doing, trying. Day by day, surviving day by day. Not easy. Even went to the monastery when I was 7 years old. Can you imagine? I spent all my life in the monastery. Not easy. Huh? Wearing this robe doesn't have much thought. Need to think. Daily basis, need to think. When you wake up, make sure there's some positive thought that rise rather than negative thought. There's something you can do. No, that requires some effort. You know? And doing that with joyfully, not just by fear or like, oh, so happy. Like, then eventually you feel like, oh, my life is so blessed. I feel like fortunate. I feel like my life is meaning. Eventually, slowly, that thought more frequent throughout the day. Then good, you know, then it's good. Try all my best to benefit people. If not, my first commitment, I'll make sure today I will not destroy anybody's happiness. That's my commitment. So, then you feel like your life's meaning, that you are, you know, like, so then probably, you know, if you die tomorrow, you don't have much regret. When you look back, there's nothing much to regret. And it's not may not become shocking because you meditate on death every single day. You meditate on death every single day. So it's definite. Time is uncertainty. We have no clue. We have ideas. Oh, I'm going to be here forever. This idea. There's no like evidence. This idea. Because then every day you are surviving day by day. Make sure this day's goes well, this moment goes well, there's a possibility maybe this day could go well. It's all begin with this present moment. Present moment, okay? Yeah, so then completely admit, life is not perfect. Life is not perfect. Somebody can say, oh, your life is perfect. That's not true. It's not perfect. Well, in my case, it's never been perfect since from beginning this time. But now I'm trying to achieve the perfections, hard, but it requires every day thinking, whether you call it meditation or not, it is meditation, you are thinking every day, reminding yourself your life is precious. Every single day, reminding yourself your life is precious, and meaningful, so difficult to find why, then brainstorm, Then it's called like analytical meditation. You go to analytical meditation. So this gets better and better and better. Oh. Yeah, otherwise, you know, like, unfortunately, it's not easy. It's not easy. So don't think too far down the road. Just like one step at a time. One step at a time. Oh. So like then, we have to have faith in ourselves. I can be better. You have to have faith. If not, then you have to have reason, concrete reason. Why not? Concrete reason. Why your life? Why your life is not precious? Why? Why is precious? You just read so many reasons we're given. You can read page by page. Now you say no precious. How many pages you have? How many pages of the reason that you have your life is not precious? Why? Just write down why. First, even in Buddhism, first you help yourself. First you help yourself. Love, have compassion, have loving kindness towards yourself. Then you can think about having compassion towards others. Then not having anything for yourself. You even have a dream. You even have a dream helping yourself. How in the world are you going to help somebody else? Impossible. It's like hypocrisy. Did you ever dream of helping yourself? Did you ever thought about that, your moral responsibility? Oh, so first help yourself. It's all about the beginning of the Lamrim is how to help yourself by understanding of what is samsara, what is karma, what is impermanent, all of that there to help yourself, to understand, to help ease yourself. So then, when you look at somebody else, oh, they are going through the same thing. So then build the foundation for universal compassion. Now your compassion is not about, oh, that person my friend, that person my relative, or that person give me something. It's nothing to do with that. Simply, they are not free from samsara. That's all. Then your compassion can reach far away. So that, you know, the middle scope, then it kind of builds the foundation for universal compassion. So then the last one, last part of learning is like mind apart. So now you are really embracing the teaching of bodhicitta, you know, altruistic attitude. Mind Buddhism widely practiced in Tibet, China, Taiwan, Vietnam, Japan. So then Theravada Buddhism, Sri Lanka, Burma, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, there are many, you know, like that. Then the last part of the bodhicitta is all about embracing altruistic attitude. So that is precious thought. That is precious thought. That is noble thought. You don't ever need to doubt that you will get maximum benefit if you manage to harbor that thought, precious thought. The mind, intentions want to benefit the best. Hardest thing, but the best. Hardest thing, but the best. Huh? So then of course, why would not you feel that your life is meaningful?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you feel your life has meaning? Why wouldn't? Oh. So experience is something that each one of us has to build. You can't share. You can't just give it to somebody else. No, each person has to feel. You can so much, the experience you can't explain. You cannot explain. You know, all the method and instruction you can explain, but experience, what do you call meditative experience? There's somebody that each and everyone has to feel through meditation. You can't really share. No, share. Oh. So next life, when you say a precious human life, then it means something. It's just word. Now it really means something. It means something. Before it just words. Now you've been meditating again and again and again. Now it means something. You know, going to gym first day, you are not going to have muscle. But it already began. So after a month, you see something, some kind of round shape here. It's not just laying down on the bed or thinking, oh, like going to gym doesn't produce that. You actually go there, you have to aspiration, you go there, work hard, then you see something, you know, like that. So in America, you say like, no pain, no gain. It's not Lamdim said, they use it. So yeah, need to, for the sake of your own happiness, is worth to put some effort. Your life will change. Your life will change. Next time just end something, some small insect, they are completely safe. They are not going to hurt them. You don't believe hurting them, even though they're not human. They're completely safe. See? Temporary benefit. You're trying to rescue them, maybe put it outside, because you cherish their life. Temporary benefit. So, yeah, bodhicitta, you know, bodhicitta is like something to, the teaching of bodhicitta, particular mind are teaching something to, I would say, to study, to learn, and to think, to meditate, sake of your own happiness, okay? So now, sorry, time is way over. I took, supposed to start, stop, 11:30, is now 11:48. Sorry, so, oh yeah.
Okay, so let's turn to page 246 in the prayer book, and we'll read the dedication verses from Master Shantideva. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ills. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. I'll go to page 244. And we'll start with a short long life prayers. First, for His Holiness, in the land encircled by snow mountains, you're the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Now on page 245, long life prayer for Sarah J. Kenshin Rinpoche, Jitsun Lhasa Dalek. The one who masters speech at a very young age. The one who has patience, who receive the name Alatade. The one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And the long life prayer for Lama Zopa Rupesha on 244. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. And then seven green tarma mantras for Geshe and Geshe samples. Long, happy, healthy lives. Om taratu taratu re soha. 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 Om taratu taratu re soha.
Well, yeah, thank you. So, announcement.
Yes, just one very quick announcement. You all know, or many of us know, that we've been anticipating and working toward a very precious visit from our guest teacher, Khyentse Rinpoche, which we were expecting to happen quite soon. There's been a delay. He's still working toward getting his visa. So I just wanted you to know that it's still in the works, but it's going to be a little bit later than we had hoped for. So continue, please, to dedicate your prayers to removing obstacles for him to come, because it's going to be really a wonderful visit when he does come. I also want to just let folks know, those especially who are familiar with Lama Zopa Rinpoche and his attendant, Venerable Roger, they've been here for teaching, and Venerable Roger had a fall and has broken his hip, and he's not well. So if you know him, you'll be wanting to dedicate some of your prayers for his return to health. Thank you. Oh, and very important thing, in these weeks that we've been getting ready for Khyentse Rinpoche to come, so many people have been really putting a lot of wonderful work into getting ready for him, and I just want to thank all those volunteers, many, many people cleaning the gampa, cleaning the altar, preparing things for him to come. So we're all still working toward that and looking forward to it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you, all the people on Zoom. Can see you here, just see here, maybe up here. Thank you. So, please, would you want to take maybe a moment to introduce yourself to each other? Yeah. Thank you, all the people on Zoom. Anybody watching on YouTube?
Thank you.
Have a nice Sunday. Huh?
Thank you, Geshe-la.
Thank you,
Geshe-la. Gracias.